I want to talk about faith this morning. I got up this morning, well, last night, just before I went to bed, a brother asked me to preach last night. He asked me to preach here this morning, and I took it on. I'm glad to be able to preach, and I'll preach anytime I'm asked, you know, because that's what I'm called to do, to preach. But she's called to sing. I guess you know that. But anyhow,
may the Lord this day, I am the living life. I am he that guideth, I am he that taketh care. All things were created by me. Before me there was nothing. But I am the Lord God of Abraham. I am the God of the living, not the God of the dead. In me there's life, and in this life I've given unto you. As I left my home in glory to come to a lost and dying world, one that was created and left in under sin, that they may have eternal life in my going unto this cross that I lifted up myself. Myself I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me, and I'll watch over the nations that blesses me and calls upon me, saith the Lord. I am the God of the living and not the God of the dead, saith the Lord. Giving praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
In him we live and we move and we have our being. John 7:38 said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, that they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. How many knows that we can have the Holy Ghost faith now because Jesus has been glorified? He said, he that believeth on me, we got to have faith. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly or his innermost being is going to flow rivers of living water. You know, those are rivers of life, just like he just brought the message. He's the God of life. He's not the God of death. How many knows that? In him is life. And the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I'd like to take for a text. Now, we're going to talk about like precious faith. We're going to talk about maybe dead faith. But there are different writers in the Bible that we should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And if there ever was a time, church, that we need to contend for that faith that was once delivered to the saints, it is right now. There is a difference. There's dead faith. How many know we can have dead faith? Jesus said, would he find faith when he came? And yet we've had years of people telling us that we're in a faith revival, but faith is at an all-time low. I travel across the nation. I see faith at an all-time low. People doesn't have that faith. They don't have that spirit that's moving within them, the Holy Ghost that has the rivers, the Holy Ghost faith. So I want to give you a little bit of Paul's writing in 1 Timothy 4. And he said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, how many believe that we're in the latter times?
Amen.
Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their countenance seared with a hot iron. So the time has come when men have departed from the faith. They're giving heed to seducing spirits, and they're bringing things into church. I'm not saying this church, but I'm saying the churches that I come in all across the nation and preach, they're bringing in doctrines and doctrines of devils and doctrines of this. And if it's not God, it's of the devil, or it's carnal at least. To be carnally minded is death. How many knows that? Romans 8 tells us that. To be carnally minded, verse 6 said, but to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and it is peace. And Zechariah 4:6 said, it is not by might, it is not by power, but it is by my spirit, saith the Lord. What did Jesus say about the word? The faith comes from the word. He said in John 6:63, it is the spirit that quickeneth. In other words, how many knows quickeneth means alive? It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Most things are geared for the flesh anymore. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That's what Jesus said. Paul said they're going to depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirit. But Peter says, let's go over to 2 Peter chapter 1 and just read verse 1, and we'll get into a little bit more of that if possible this morning. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained, I want you to know, obtained, they've got it, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So Peter writes to them that have obtained it. This is a kind of a special kind of faith. Like precious faith with us. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the apostles and the early church. Them that have obtained that like precious faith. What kind of faith? Like precious faith. Who with us? That means Peter, James, and John, and Paul. They all have a lot of writings about faith. James has a lot of writings. So let's turn to James here just a minute. Chapter 1. See, we're going to be tried. Our faith is going to be tried. And James said it's good for us. We don't think it is. But James, listen to what James said. Verse 1. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to them that have, which are scattered abroad, greetings. Now they had a scattering in the church then. How many knows? Seems like it's just inevitable that people get scattered. Scattered. But they're supposed to be together, but they get scattered. And then James is talking to them that scattered. Then he begins to talk about their faith. See, if the devil can scatter us, then he can get to our faith. He wants us to get together. How many knows we're unified together? Unity. Unity has power. Unity has its place. Now listen to what it said here. Now, after he said to them, to the 12 tribes that scattered, and then he says here in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall in divers temptations. Have we got to that place yet? That's a very special faith. When you can shout through your trial. Praise God through the trial. Weep through the trial. I don't know about you, I'm the happiest. Some things I'm kind of hard, but I'll tell you what, I'm tender hearted. I can't listen to the song she sang without weeping. And I've heard it dozens and dozens and dozens of times, but it touches my heart. There's something there in the song. But what is he saying here? He said, "Count my brethren, count it all joy when you fall in divers temptation." It took me a long time to learn that one. As I said last night, but Paul learned to be content in whatsoever state he was in. He had to learn that. Jesus had to learn through the suffering that he had. He learned these things. And so we are learners today. This life is taking us through a ship of learning, a place where we learn how to serve God, a place how we learn how to defeat the devil. Put on the whole armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6 said, the sword of the Spirit, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith. And that shield of faith is what we need, because it's a movable instrument where we can catch all the fiery darts of the devil. Now listen, James said, just count it all joy. You know, to human flesh, it's hard. But to the spirit man, it's easy. So we have to lean on the spirit. And we are a spirit with a soul and a body. And this body will defeat us more quicker than anything. We defeat ourselves because we pass on one thing to another to our soul. But you see, we're to have a renewing. How many knows we ought to have a renewing? I believe I quoted it last night. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present what? Your body. Here's the way you defeat. You present your body what? A living sacrifice, holy. Can you imagine that? Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2 said, and be not conformed to this world. I'll tell you, this world has got everything in the world to draw us away. This, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How many wants to be in the perfect will of God? Some fellow told me one day, years ago, I was a young preacher then, and he said, I'm in the acceptable will. I said, I don't find that you're just spending that kind of will. We're to be in the perfect will of God. And the way that we do that, we have to sacrifice this old flesh and get in the perfect will. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I couldn't find there. Acceptable will of God, or just the will of God. It's because that might be my kind of will. But His will is that we have a perfect will. Now, knowing this, verse 3, back to James, chapter 1, verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. See, it makes us more patient. How many knows they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength? They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. So it tries our patience. Because we want out of it right now. But you see, the Lord may want us to go through it. The main thing is when we're in a real trial, it's not getting out of it. It's going through it. The three Hebrew children, it was God's will that they went through it. And you guess who went with them? When the old king looked in there and seen them in this fiery furnace, he said, did not we throw three in there? He said, I see a fourth man in there. I'll tell you what, the fourth man will be with you through the fiery trial. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but somebody's going through a fiery trial here this morning, and God wants you to quit thinking, let me out of it, let me go through it. When you go through it, you have a power added to your life, and it becomes a like precious faith that Peter said, with us. Us means all of us that have obtained that kind of faith. Us. Us. And you know, I was preaching here a while back, I was reading the Bible, and that word us just stood out there at me. And ever since, different words in the Bible just stands out there at me. Us, that means us. That have obtained, Peter said, like precious faith. What is that like precious faith? It's that can count it all joy. I mean, thanks, Peter did know what he was doing. Paul knew what he's doing. James knew what he was doing. Jude knew what he was doing. Knowing this, at the trying of your faith, work of patience. God wants a patient church. They that wait upon the Lord. Somebody said, but I want it now. Well, maybe the Lord's going to let you be patient for a little while, and then you'll get a double portion. How many knows a double portion is a special kind of faith? And there is a double portion. A double portion. So let's look forward to more. You know, I used to think, back when I was younger, I'd think, well, I've got all I need. Then I got into this thing, I want more. And I've been in the ministry 56 years, and I'm getting down to business with God every day and say, Lord, I want more. I may need more for the 57th year. I'll probably need more for the 58th year. You know why? Because the devil is on the rampage in our nation, in our homes, in our lives, everywhere, on the job, everywhere you go. The devil is raging. But I want you to know that God has the power. All power, Jesus said, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Acts 1 and 8 said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. How many knows that this town is in the uttermost part of the earth? Donovan, Missouri is in the uttermost part of the earth. You know, today you don't have to go to Jerusalem to get the Holy Ghost. You can get it here. Right there on the altar. How many knows you can up your faith by hearing the word? That's what I'm trying. My soul thing is not to be important myself, but the importance that I want it to be to you is that I will impart the word of God, which will establish your faith. I'm concerned about God's people, no matter where they're at, whether in in California. We preach out there in California. We preach in Oregon and Washington, Texas and Florida, Pennsylvania and different places. Same thing. I'm concerned. I'm concerned about the church that's being led away with entertainment rather than the things of God. I don't go to church to be entertained. I go to church to hear the word. I go to church to grow. There's a young preacher we got coming up over at Donovan, Missouri, pastor in a church. I'll tell you what, he could preach the word. He's just about 24 years old, and he's been in the ministry just about 2 years, but he is really in there. And every time he comes to church and someone else is preaching, he's got his mouth open to receive. And he can impart that. He don't think he's got it all. Now listen to what it says here. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. But let him ask in faith. We have to have that faith. We have to ask in faith. And it brings wisdom. It brings knowledge. And nothing wavering. For he that is wavereth is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. And goes on down verse 8 and said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his way. Everybody knows that. That's not the us crowd. I'm talking about the us crowd that have that like precious faith. Let's go from James over to 2 Peter again. And Peter said there in verse 1, how many's with me? Simon Peter, and he wrote this book. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. With us. So the us crowd was Paul, Silas, Peter, James, John, the early church, them that had this black precious faith. There is a step in faith higher than we've got, but some of them have stepped down in the faith. What did Paul say? Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. But Peter here, now he's going to tell us here something. Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Then he said in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace. How many likes grace and peace? Be multiplied to you. So there's more than just a little dabble, do you? A multitude. Of grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now he's talking about faith here, because he said that them that have obtained like precious faith with us. And he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. I hope everyone here this morning is being a partaker of that special faith. The faith that was once delivered to the saints. The faith that is like precious faith. But you can add to it, grace and peace be multiplied through it. How many sees that? Then we can drop on down to verse 3. He said, according as his divine power, he has given unto us all things that pertain to what? To life and godliness. Let me stop there and change just a minute and talk to you just a minute. How many knows that the devil is identified and God is identified in one scripture? St. John 10:10 said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That, how many knows that identifies the devil? Now you're shaking your head. You know that. That identifies. But Jesus said, my identity, but I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant. Now anything that comes along to get you trailed off after it that destroys your faith, it's a killer. So who brought that? The devil brought it. But if Jesus comes along and he revives us, that's what revival's about, to get those that's edging off on the wrong side, to revive them. And that's what I deal in mostly, is revival. I like to see people get revived. Somebody said, well, everywhere you go, there's somebody that needs to be revived. That's the thing there. Now it said, according as his divine power, he's given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That's the Lord. Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Now she's talking to the people of like precious faith again. Verse 4, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Whew. So we've escaped, us have. That you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. The lust of the eye, the pride of life, the lust. Listen to this. According as his divine power, he's given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Now we're called to glory and virtue. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. See, God wants us to have a divine nature. How many knows? I guarantee everyone sitting here this morning, our nature changed when we got saved and really filled with the Holy Ghost. Huh? I'd hate to go back to my old nature. I don't even hardly want to ever think about it. I've done some of the craziest things there ever was. I never was on drugs, but I drank plenty of alcohol. But anyhow, God delivered me from that one morning. Got out of bed, he'd been dealing with me for 3 or 4 years. And the Spirit hit me. I had said, if I ever feel the Spirit again, I went to a church in Argentine, Kansas, before I was saved, and I never did believe in speaking in tongues. I didn't believe in any emotion. We'd done everything in the tavern, you know, but plenty emotional there, you know, dancing and all that kind of stuff. But I didn't believe it ought to happen in church, you know. You're supposed to go to church and be quiet. You know, there's people that teach that. But you see, that morning I went to church. They kept after me till I said, I'll go just so I can get rid of it. You know how many remembers there was a time when you aggravated people till they went to church. And then they got down there and got saved. Any more people's afraid to ask them, you know. Well, if they get angry, let them get angry. But invite them. Talk to them. Tell them we got something down there at church that you need. And that's what was happening to me. There was people on one side telling me that, and others said, let's go to the tavern. But I got up one morning. The Spirit was there. God was dealing. Nobody in that old apartment building but me. And I got glory success. I got emotional. I done everything that I said I didn't believe in. You know why? Because my nature changed immediately. I began to weep and I began to cry. And I looked up on the fireplace mantel. There was a bottle of Jim Beam whiskey there, about half full. I took it and I threw it in the trash can. I had a package of Lucky Strike cigarettes on the mantle. I threw them in the trash can. I had a few cans of beer and I threw them on the trash can. And I trashed everything, all this worldly junk, and trashed. And guess what? Came out a man off of the street that began to preach the gospel within 3 or 4 weeks after I got saved. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I couldn't keep my mouth shut, and I won I don't know how many people to God because they just couldn't believe that I got saved. We need some of that again, don't we, Brother Mark? We need some of this. But it all comes through that like precious faith. Them old saints of God just hung on. I could feel, you know, the Holy Ghost was tracking me down. I moved from Kansas City. I had a good job in Kansas City. I was discontent, you know. I learned a lot of that out there in the world. I preached on godliness with contentment is great gain. But I was discontented in Kansas City, and I thought it was just I needed to go somewhere else and move to St. Louis, and the same Holy Ghost was after me, about to arrest me. And one morning he arrested me, took me in. I joined up with his crowd. I've had 57 years now of this glorious walk with God. And I wouldn't take anything. My nature is totally changed. I'm a brand new man. And I've been able to live it. Praise God. And you're able to live it. We're all able to live it. If we just get down to business with God and do what God's Word tells us to do. And quit listening to anybody that peddles death. Don't listen to a death peddler. No kind of peddlers out there. Listen to a life peddler. Listen to someone that's talking life to you. Listen to what it said. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Now here we go. We got to add to our faith. Somebody said, I got faith. Well, add to it. Listen to what he said. Add, look at your Bible there. Add to your faith, number one, virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And temperance, patience. And patience, godliness. So there you have godliness. With contentment is great gain. So you add all this, you add even godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So faith comes by hearing in another scripture, and hearing by the Word of God. How many's got two ears? And it settles in your soul and into the spirit, man, and our nature is changed. Well, James said, count it all joy. But I want to wind up here with Paul. Here's Paul's writing. And I want to go back to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and see a man that fought a good fight, kept the faith, and he had great things laid up for him. I want to lay up. You know we have a chance of laying up things here. They're deposited over there. Everything we have is deposited in heaven. Our conversation is in heaven. Listen to what he said here. Paul's telling Timothy, young Timothy, a young preacher, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. I am commanded to preach the word. Preachers are commanded to preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant in season. And out of season, be ready any time. Reprove, rebuke with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. It's here. Huh? You know, people have made a rock festival out of the church. Many churches, they go and have rock music. Well, you have that out there in the world. Rock music. No. No rock music. Remember, Elsie the cow that I preached about last night liked gentle music, and she produced more milk. Christian people will get out of that stuff in their ears, you know, they'll produce more fruit. And God will begin to add to things to your life. You should remember Elsie the contented cow? This is a true story. She was contented. Because it got her away from all the other cattle that was out there fighting around the lots. And they got her in a nice big place where she was comfortable. Her milk production went up 2% at a time, I believe it was. And then they got to, you know, some soft music. And she's so contented with that music. They said they could just tell she was contented. And she just got, and milk production went up 2-4%. And then they even got her a waterbed. So she wouldn't have to lay around on the ground. And she liked the waterbed. They seen that she liked it. And she went and slept on the waterbed all the time. And production of milk went up 2% because she was contented. You know, there are a lot of folks sitting in church, they're not contented.
That's right.
There's a lot of folks who are not contented with your job. You're not contented with your family. You're not contented with your children. You're not contented with your wife or your husband. Or you're not contented with the boss. You're not contented with the pastor. The pastor and lots of people's not contented with the people. I tell you, we need to get in a spirit of content and get our faith growing where we can all contend with one another.
Amen.
And all be contented with one another. Somebody said, yeah, but they've done this. What's that got to do with your contentment? I'll tell you what it'll do. If you watch other people, it'll destroy you. It'll destroy your faith. We are earnestly content for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Now, Paul here is writing this, and listen to what he said. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Listen to it. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. I may believe we've got churches full of, across our nation, people that's got itching ears. They want to hear this story. If you're a Christian, everything goes good for you. Nothing bad will happen to you. You'll be wealthy, healthy, and wise. Don't believe that lie. Faith is a thing that we fight with. Build your faith where you can handle anything that comes along. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I've learned to be content in whatsoever state I'm in. If everything around me is going well, I'll be content. I'm going to be a productive preacher, Paul was actually saying. And listen to what he's telling Timothy now. He's raising up another one the same way. Listen to what he said. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand, Paul said. Here's where we need to be. I have fought a good fight. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. It's a fight. We've got to stay on course. I have kept the faith. He said, I've kept it. What you give me, I kept. That like precious faith that Peter talks about. That faith that James said, count it all joy when you face the diverse temptation. Because this faith will take you through. That faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me, Paul said, a crown of righteousness, and not for me only, but unto all of them that love his appearance. Count it all joy. Don't depart from the faith. Don't give heed to seducing spirits. The formula is all laid out in the Bible that we have the power to overcome. It's laid there before us. Now, the Word is one thing, and the power of the Holy Ghost is another thing. You know, through the Word of God. The Word of God is quick. Jesus said, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder, the spirit, the soul, and the joints and the marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The power of God. God has a power. There's a special faith. If we add to that faith, that enhances that faith more and more. Paul said, I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Not for me only, but all. Everyone here. Not for just for me. Not just for Brother Bob, the pastor. Not just for song leaders. But for all that love his appearance. Would you be glad to see Jesus appear right now and claim his church? I'll leave that with you. And I'm going to turn it to the pastor.